Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end.
Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
D Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. A big thank you to Paul Kaharski for joining us in the previous segment. Double dipping today here on 1025 The Game. Of course, you can hear Paul every morning, every Wednesday morning, I should say, with Robbie and Rex Road.
Ain't nothing wrong with having two scoops of Paul.
I don't like that at all. That's saying I should be more specific. I like having Paul on the show. Uh-huh. I like hearing Paul on our station. Mm-hmm. Two scoops of Paul.
Yeah.
Let's workshop that phrase.
But you said double dipping. I don't like double dipping. No, I don't want to be double dipping.
I mean, a double dip is two scoops, isn't it?
I would rather two scoops than a double dip. I don't want somebody to put their chip into my guac, well, eat it, and then double dip again.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. Seinfeld pointed out
that
is a—
Thank you, Willie.
Yeah, that's a big faux pas.
So take your phrase.
You dipped it. You ate it. And then you dipped it in again.
And you just eat your phrase, Adam.
Paul, if you're still listening, may I recommend two scoops of Paul as the new name of your podcast. Forget the Paul Kaharski podcast. Call it Two Scoops of Paul. You might find yourself a co-host also named Paul to make it work. But nevertheless, let's continue the conversation. The big news last night, Chad Brinker stepping down as Titans president of football operations / supreme ruler of football, because that's what we used to call him. And now the spotlight is on Mike Borgonzi. It kind of already was, because in January, the Titans clarified their front office structure and made sure that everybody knew that Mike Borgonzi was calling the shots. But there were still the Chad Brinker of it all hanging on in the background, lurking in the shadows, perhaps. And now Brinker is off to, maybe, bigger and better things. So the spotlight is clearly on Mike Borgonzi right now. And as I read, and I'll read it again here, all of you probably know this, but it's sobering to hear it written out this way from Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports. Quote, since December 2022, the Titans have fired John Robinson, hired Rand Carthon, fired Mike Vrabel, hired Brian Callahan, fired Rand Carthon, promoted Chad Brinker, hired Mike Borgonzi, fired Brian Callahan, hired Robert Saleh, and seen Brinker resign. Okay? So history would suggest that Mike Borgonzi probably doesn't have a ton of time to prove his worth to Amy Adams Strunk. So here's what I want to attempt to do. How long do you think he gets? Paul Kaharski seemed to suggest at least a couple of years. But how long do you think Mike Borgonzi realistically has to prove to Amy Adams Strunk that he is the right man for this job? And let me start by asking this question to the two of you and all of you listening, 615-737-1025. How much should we forgive Mike Borgonzi for last season? The Titans were 3-14 last year, just as they were the year before. And I know wins and losses don't mean everything, but ultimately people are judged by wins and losses. So how much should we forgive? I think this is important to establish the baseline, sort of. How much should we forgive Mike Borgonzi for the Titans going 3-14 last year?
All of it.
All of it. Not even a little bit?
No. I agree. Because you look at the players he drafted. Those players end up being contributors right away to this offense or defense. Let's just say to this team. So it seems right now that the future of this organization is starting to take a turn, because what he wanted to accomplish coming in, I think you start to see a little bit of the fruit, because what did they want to do? Draft, develop, and retain. Last year's draft choices are developed, and we see them as bigger parts of this offense and defense moving forward. Now that you know the group that they drafted this season, the free agents they went out and got this upcoming season, it's going to be a part of it. But I don't think I'm not going to put him on a hook for the sins of everybody else that came before him, whether it was Rand Carthon, whether it was Vrabel, John Robinson, Brian Callahan, whoever. What he did as a GM, you're starting to see some of the fruit from it. Now, he has to continue it, but I think it would be completely unfair to him to blame him for last year. He got a team that was bad. He inherited a team that was bad. He wasn't going to take that team from being the worst in the league to first. It just wasn't going to happen, especially when you're playing a rookie quarterback with an offensive line that is still developing, and they got better at the end. But you couldn't expect that team last year to do much of anything. Hell, going into the season, I think I was probably the one that had them winning more games than anybody.
That's every year?
Yeah, that's every year. So you're right about D-Mace, that.
D-Mace, August 15th, is very optimistic.
Exactly.
He's in the optimistic mode.
It's between you and Chris Sanders.
Yeah, we both. Chris is a little bit more optimistic than I am.
He's very optimistic. Yes.
But you understand
what I'm
saying.
You're saying. Yeah. He had, and I think when you sign up for a rookie quarterback, mm-hmm. you have to expect, especially with all of the other holes on the roster, that it was going to be a rough year. So the year went exactly how I thought it was going to go. Thought they maybe could win another game or two there, but it's probably best that they didn't. They had the fourth pick instead of the seventh or eighth or ninth pick. So I think it is a building process. I think he should get 4 years to build the way he wants to. But now there's more on his shoulders, right? He is the head guy. He is the guy at the top of the flagpole, and the higher up on the flagpole you go, the harder the wind blows.
Matthew from Jolton said, I would give Borgonzi 3 years. The state of the roster was barren. Sonny says, I think last year bought himself 2 years. And let's all be perfectly honest. It all hinges on Cam Ward.
Yeah.
If Cam Ward continues to develop in year two, and he has that big year two jump that some of the other recent top quarterbacks had, then Mike Borgonzi's probably going to be sitting pretty. But if Cam Ward struggles again this season, and especially, well, let me rephrase that. If Cam Ward struggles this season, which also means that Carnell Tate probably struggles this season, because, of course, Carnell Tate's success hinges on Cam Ward. And Carnell Tate, the Titans, we'll talk about this in a little bit. The Titans were smitten with Carnell Tate, but it seemed to surprise a lot of people that the Titans drafted Carnell Tate number 4 overall. If Ward struggles, and by extension Tate struggles, I think it's going to be harder for him to hold on to that chair.
I hope not, because again, you know, even though we want Cam Ward to take that next step, and I think he should, if he does struggle somewhat, it's, you know, is it all on him? Is he struggling because he's regressed? Or is he struggling because he's still learning a new offense? Those are sort of the nuances to it, too. Now, he was in a totally different offense last year, and now they're giving him a whole new offense this year. So if indeed he does struggle, which I would anticipate there being some slowness to their offense as everybody's learning it. So people have to take that into account, too. But if this thing's completely, if this thing completely fall off the rail, which I don't think is going to happen, then I think that's when you have to decide, you know, is this the guy moving forward? But if they have a minor setback and say Cam doesn't start off the season, you know, with the ground, you know, hit the ground running. A lot of that probably is some of that probably is him learning this new offense and everybody else learning it as well. What you want to see is them continuing to get better in this offense and them continuing to develop as players. So if you're seeing that, then regardless of, you know, as long as you're not the worst team in the league, once again, I think if you show some development in the whole roster, even if, say, they missed the playoffs this year, I think you got to continue with, you know, status quo.
Well, I'm not expecting them to make the playoffs at all. I want it to look better. And I will say, I'll continue to say this, that when you have a second-year quarterback and a first-year supposed new number one wide receiver, I don't think it's going to happen overnight. I think it's going to be a process throughout the season to get where you want to be in 2 or 3 years. I still think they're probably realistically 2 years away from being good, which it'd be fun for to have a young nucleus that you feel good about as a new stadium opens. And I don't know if light the world on fire like the Titans did when they originally opened the new stadium in 1999. It was unbelievable how overnight everything changed. And I don't know if they can do that, but I think the goal is set the table for one more year. It's going to be the last year of an old stadium that they haven't done a thing to make welcoming. So it's going to be a tricky environment to begin with, even though there's that youthful optimism, I guess, that you're going to have. But I think I'd be looking at the roster with the idea of what's it going to look like when the new stadium opens. That's when I want my team to really look like I've got most of the holes filled.
All right, let me ask you this question. Because, again, a lot of people are going to judge Borgonzi on wins and losses. The Titans' over-under win total, last I checked, yesterday, is 6.5. Do the Titans need to clear that in order for it to be considered a successful season this coming season?
I don't think so. I think it depends on how it looks. I think if Cam Ward's stats look a lot better, if the games are closer, and they end up with 6 wins, mm-hmm. like they should win more than 3, I will grant you that, but they win 5 or 6, but everything looks better, like it's moving in the right direction, I'll take that.
Well, here's why I think it may need to be 6, possibly 7. Anything under that, then you're right. It's how is the quarterback developing? Is he still on track? How are some of these young guys developing? Because even in a situation like this, you have a predominantly young team now. And how they develop, and it may not always equate wins. I get that part. But you would almost think them having one of the easier schedules in the National Football League. We talked about this last year with the New England Patriots. And I'm not sure if – I don't know where at on the pecking order as far as strength of schedules with the Titans, but I know them being a bad team last year, they're going to try to make sure that their schedule is a little bit lighter this season.
That is something we shouldn't forget, and is worth pointing out when we're talking about Borgonzi's mm-hmm. first year, is the strength of schedule was inordinately tough.
It was tough.
For a team that finished dead last the year before. So their strength of schedule did not go with the Pete Rozelle model. No. It just a lot of it was happenstance, but remember particularly how tough the defenses were that they played. And that's a real thing. Just like part of the reason, not to take anything away from them, but part of the reason the Patriots got to the Super Bowl, they had an easier road schedule-wise. It's a fact. It's not like, oh, man, why are you saying that?
Factually, they had a softer
schedule they took advantage of.
Yeah, so with that being said, the Titans would have to take advantage, and I think they should, depending on, again, if you look at last season, this team, yeah, they ended up with three, four wins. But if you look at how decimated their team was, even, you know, the last half of the season, it was just, I don't know who could win with that ball club. They were decimated on defense. If they are not decimated with injuries this season, then I do believe you have it. 6 wins, it has to be the minimum. It has to be the floor. You know, because you figure, you know, the coaches that you're bringing in, the expertise that they have, whether it be Saleh on defense, him being a head coach, and him having top-ranked defenses to Daboll, and what he's been able to do as a coordinator and head coach at one time. So you think automatically, even though it's a new offense, new defense, guys are learning, that we should be a much better team than what we were. The guys that we brought in, you automatically think that should equate at least two more wins. So again, if the six wins isn't your floor, then I think you are, you know, you are sort of not on pace to what you want to be. Like Willie said, by the time you move into that stadium in the next 2 years, you want to be a playoff team. And I think if you get under that six-win total, are you on track to be that team?
Let's quickly go
minus
to Kevin.
Injuries.
Let's quickly go to Kevin on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Kevin, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to say real quick, and I do have a question for Derek and for all of you, but hopefully some of the firings Miss Amy's done, there's been extenuating circumstances, and obviously Callahan was a bad choice. So maybe she isn't just so quick to fire everybody. Let's hope so, because I want a nice run with the guys in place like we had with Jeff Fisher and Floyd Reese, so ready for that, and not have the turnover. But on top of that, I wanted to ask this about Will Levis and Cam. I'm looking for Cam to have an outstanding second year and be great, but I obviously haven't dealt Will, whether that's because they couldn't or have decided it wasn't worth enough. My question to Derek is, or you guys, you know, what is the harm? Because everybody says you always want competition. These are both young quarterbacks. Everybody says in the league you have to have two good quarterbacks on your roster because of injuries being so bad. That do you think they possibly are thinking, hey, if Will can beat out Mitch Trubisky to be Cam's backup, let's keep him in case Cam gets hurt. He can go in, his stock might rise, and we can always put the fifth-year option on him and keep him as Cam's backup for another year and try to trade him, you know, during that span because people saw him performing. Because this team's going to be better, and I think both of those quarterbacks, no matter which one played, you'd see different players because of their growth and that the team has gotten better. And Saleh's defense is going to be awesome from what I believe is going to happen. And I just wanted to see what would Derek's thoughts of that being a bad idea of having both of those guys on the roster. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kevin. Derek will answer that question coming up next. 615-737-1025. Here is my question for all of you. Now that Chad Brinker is gone, the spotlight is clearly on Mike Borgonzi, and we know how Amy Adams Strunk operates. So how long do you think Mike Borgonzi gets to prove his worth? 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction. Derek will answer Kevin's question coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. As we continue our Titans conversation, all of our off-season coverage of the local professional football team is presented by Tennessee Brew Works. From kickoff to last call, Tennessee Brew Works is the official craft beer of the football offseason coverage here on 102.5 The Game. Here's the question we're discussing. Now that Chad Brinker is no longer president of football operations, Mike Borgonzi, clearly the man in charge. It's been that way since January, but now that Brinker's gone, there's no one really else around who's calling the shots. It's all on Mike Borgonzi. So knowing Amy Adams Strunk and her propensity, is that worth a bell? Propensity?
Yes. There we go.
To fire people, how long does Borgonzi get to prove his worth? But before we continue debating that question, Derek, before the break, Kevin had a question about Will Levis and Cam Ward. I want you to answer that question.
And we've talked about this for months now. And I think there's different opinions on this, you know, on this panel with us three. Willie thinks that, you know, keeping him wouldn't be a bad idea, you know, because you just never know what would happen. I'm in the camp of, listen, for Will Levis's sake, and I think you are too, Adam, in a sense of you him being on the roster, you would rather see him go somewhere else. But I just think from a I look at Will Levis, and he wants to be a starting quarterback in this league. He does. And he's not going to be that guy here. No matter how well he plays or how well he looks in preseason or camp, this is Cam Ward's team. Unless some, you know, injury, this is his team moving forward for the next 10, 15 years. And Will just, at this point, because of his aspirations to be a starting quarterback, and he should aspire to be that, he just, I'm not sure from a mental standpoint, you know, him being on his team would be good for him nor for the organization, because, again, there's always going to be that question. Even as Mitch Trubisky falters a little bit in camp, well, you can throw Will Levis in there. It's always going to be an argument. Then what are you going to do with Hendon Hooker? Why you even bring him on? So I think the best thing for Will Levis, now, for the organization, it may be something different, but I think the best thing for Will Levis is to try to position him to where you can get as much as you possibly can before camp starts or before the season starts, where you can trade him somewhere where he can get a sort of a fresh outlook on his career.
I would add what they put themselves in position to do, and it's not the smoothest thing. It's, you know, Adam, when a hockey team carries three goalies, it just isn't an easy fit. You got two goals at a hockey practice. You got three goalies. So, you know, it's much easier when you got two goalies, one guy at each end. But some teams do it because they don't want to just give a guy away. And so it may be inconvenient for the Titans, but it might be a little bit like the Giants last year. And I think some other teams have done this, where you feel like somebody's going to have a guy get hurt in a training camp. And who are they going to call when that happens? They're going to call you and say, well, look, we're desperate. We just had this freak thing happen we weren't counting on. We got to have a quarterback. You got an extra guy. What can we, and maybe you get more from that guy than you would have during the draft. I do think, and maybe it's Trubisky that they want. Mm-hmm. And maybe it is Levis that they want, that particular team. Because it's likely to happen at some point. And so, is it worth the inconvenience of having a very crowded quarterback room with basically four guys that aren't, you know, fresh out of college to maybe eventually get an extra draft pick?
Yeah, I can't see the Titans going with three quarterbacks and then a fourth one on the roster, whether it be
they got to cut
practice
one
squad.
Of them.
Yeah, so one of these guys is going to be the odd man out. Now, whether, you know, it's Will Levis or Hendon Hooker, that's yet to be seen. But if I was leaning toward one way or another, I would lean more Hendon Hooker, because I think if Will Levis continues to show that, you know, he doesn't, you know, suffer from any, you know, side effects in regards to his injury, then I think they are more inclined, especially if Hendon Hooker sort of picks up on the offense and you know, can be that guy that runs the scout team. If he shows that, then the likelihood of Will Levis being here is slim before the season starts.
If I'm Will Levis, I want, in these OTAs, I want to be the talk of camp that the arm is sound, right? Yeah. Hey, look at – because he's got tools. He can look good at a practice. He's going to throw some passes where you're like, wow, that's pretty impressive. Because I continue to maintain, as down on Will Levis as you probably are in this town because of what you saw, he's going to start to look pretty good as a backup when you start to get desperate. And there will be, in a given year, 10 to 15 teams that are looking around and going, we need a better backup. The Titans were that group last year.
Yeah.
Right? When Brandon Allen went on the field, you were not thinking, oh, they're set now. They're good.
Definitely not.
When Cam Ward suffered his season-ending injury in the final game of the season, that was early in the first quarter of that game. It was the Titans' first drive, I believe. When the broadcast came back from commercial and the play-by-play guy said, and now in at quarterback, Brandon Allen. Click.
And now off my TV goes.
Click. I'm not watching this garbage. Click. So to get back to Borgonzi, I agree with both of you that Cam Ward's development is paramount in all of this, independent of the win total. But I do think the Titans need to show significant improvement in the win total. I do think it has to get to at least five, if not six games. I think a 2-3 win improvement year over year, I think, is necessary for Mike Borgonzi to show proof of concept. And look.
I thought your original question was over 6.5 is what you said. Do they have to get over? That's 7 or more wins.
I don't know.
At 7, I would be pleasantly surprised if they won over.
I don't want to say.
If they won 7 or more.
I don't want to say it's impossible.
We got to see how the schedule ends up falling.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to say it's impossible that the Titans can win 7 games, but I'm highly skeptical, about that right now. So I would accept a minimum of 6. That would double their win total from each of the previous 2 years. And if Cam Ward shows noticeable improvement, the QBR is in dead last in the league, he's more accurate on throws down the field. Carnell Tate should help with that, Derek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because the success of Tate and Ward are intertwined, I think a lot of that will ultimately reflect on Borgonzi. Let's go to Trey on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Trey, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, Trey.
Hey, Derek. Hey, I just want to say, I said last year that Will Levis was gonna be on this team. Okay, I've been saying Will Levis is gonna be on this team. Will Levis got probably a couple years left on this team. Now, where he fits on this team, I don't know, where he fits, second quarterback, third quarterback. But I think Trubisky, he probably got a good year, solid year. But I think Coach Sala probably thinking about, hey, you can't really get rid of cheap labor. Will Levis right now is probably the cheapest guy right now on the team as far as salary goes. I'm thinking Will Levis will play some this coming year as far as, being a factor, because he really hasn't even really, developed into a quarterback up under Brian Callahan or whatever else that was. He didn't even really get developed. He really hasn't even really been taught how to be a quarterback. And I think it's up in the air as far as where he fits in. But I think Will Levis probably got a couple years left. And Brinker, I'm glad he gone too, because we've been fighting over him for the last 2 or 3 years. Now it's Borgonzi's team and Sala's team, and I'm glad of that. And I love y'all. Thank you.
Thanks, Trey. Now, let me ask you this question. It was reported yesterday that the New York Jets met with Russell Wilson as a potential backup quarterback. Geno Smith, by the way, mm-hmm. is the starting quarterback for the New York Jets. That's something. The Jets quarterback roster at the moment: Geno Smith, Bailey Zappe, and Cade Klubnik, who was drafted over the weekend. If you're the New York Jets, would you rather have Russell Wilson as your backup or take a shot on Will Levis?
Well, they appear to be a team that is not going to try to win.
Their position.
So Will Levis is perfect.
Yeah, I think they're setting up to try to get the guy next year.
Yes,
right?
I know.
But I do think it's a fair question just in a vacuum. Forget about the Jets. Who would you rather have as your backup? Would you rather have Will Levis, or based on what the version of Russell Wilson, you say his name, you're like, oh, Russell Wilson. But the last couple of years, he has shown his age. He has not been effective at all. He's banged up. So I think you could argue that you might get, in a 2 or 3 game span, you might get more out of Levis than you would Wilson. You could.
Let's go to James.
It's not a crazy thing to throw out there.
Let's go to James in Ashland City on our phone line. James, thank you for calling. Go ahead. James, you there? Call back, James.
Call back, James.
Call back, James.
I mean,
what happened, James?
Come on, James.
Come on. Come on.
You dropped the ball, just like
Wednesday.
Will Levis did many, many times.
Why you know Will Levis?
He did have a fumble problem.
Yeah, he did. He had energy. He
but
had everything.
Let problem. Me ask you. Let me ask you. Problems. Let me ask you guys.
The fumble problem was a big problem.
Yes. 2 years ago.
Very big problem.
Yes. Let me ask you guys. Mm-hmm. Do you think doubling the win total is a fair expectation?
I think it has to be. Because the more you think about this, and I've laid out reasons why this team may end up starting slow, or some of the reasons. You know, whether it's new offense, new defense, you know, rookie players coming in, second year quarterback. So there are reasons why this team may not, you know, get that 6-win total. But I think if you're just the optics of it doesn't look good, because once again, you know, your fan base is saying you spend all this money in free agency to go get players, guys that were still playing at a high level. You spent your first, you know, your first round picks, you traded up in the first round to get a guy. You got a somebody for your quarterback with the fourth pick overall. Coaches that have led, you know, top-ranked defenses and really good offenses, the sentiment is they should be better. If you just look at it from that standpoint, this team should be better, and they better be better.
I think yeah, it's a reasonable expectation.
But if the fan base is looking at it from that standpoint, you've spent the money, you went into free agency with a lot of money, you spent it, or you spent majority of it, a lot of it, on key players at positions on defense and on offense. Then you go out and you get the number one wide receiver, you get one of the better outside backers in Falk, or inside backer, excuse me, in Falk, and you get some guys that were ranked a little bit higher. You get them at rounds, you know, where people thought they were not going to be there. For example, the kid out of Texas. So the fan base is looking at all this, and they're saying they better at least get 6 wins.
I'm going to say the same thing that I said, the opposite of when we're talking about, you know, could they win 4 or 5 and still look like they're improving? I think there's a scenario where that's the case. They could win 6 or 7, but also really not be that much. It wouldn't take that much if you had a reverse of the schedule. In other words, last year they had a very tough version for a schedule for a team that finished dead last the year before. Maybe that switches this year, and the schedule is just a lot easier, and you win more games just because of that. Or maybe there's some fluky wins that you get where you just catch a big break, which, of course, one of their wins, they got quite a big break in that game where the guy fumbles on the half-yard line or whatever, just drops the ball, brain cramp. That's the only reason. That was one of the flukier wins you're going to get, that game in Arizona, right? They shouldn't have won that game.
No, but doesn't that lead so to they you might, saying they should have 6 wins or
right.
more?
But what do we always say? Like, it doesn't take that much to go from 3 wins to 6 or 7 wins. It takes – the key is getting from the 6 or 7 to the 10 or 11. Yeah. That's the harder part of the growth.
615-737-1025 will continue to take your reaction coming up next. The question we're discussing this hour: how long does Mike Borgonzi get to prove his worth? Because we know how Amy Adams Strunk operates, and it might not be long before she looks at him as someone who no longer needs to be part of the organization. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. At the top of the hour, Nick Suss of the Tennessean will join the program. We'll get his thoughts on Chad Brinker stepping down as Titans president of football operations, which he did at like dinner time last night. Part of his statement from the team, quote, "It has been an honor to serve as president of football operations of the Tennessee Titans. Over the years, I've understood and embraced my role as the leader of the football strategy. But as I've spent less time in personnel, I have a renewed conviction that it is time to return to what I love and move towards my next chapter. I'm grateful for Amy's understanding in my decision and for allowing me to pursue other opportunities." Let's be real. Earlier this year, Chad Brinker was functionally demoted. He retained the title of president of football operations, but Mike Borgonzi received all of the power that Chad Brinker had for a couple of years. But we're talking Mike Borgonzi now, because now that Brinker is out of the building, all eyes are on Mike Borgonzi. He drafted Cam Ward, number 1 overall, last year. He drafted Carnell Tate, number 4 overall, a couple of days ago. The team went 3-14 last year, the same record as the year before. We know that Amy Adams Strunk has a bit of a quick trigger finger when it comes to firing front office personnel. We heard Paul Kaharsky earlier in our program talk about how she seems to take a liking to one person at a time, but she seems to quickly tire of that person if things don't go well after a certain period of time. So what I'm trying to figure out is, what's that period of time for Mike Borgonzi? He enters year two as GM. We'll get your reaction, 615-737-1025.
Would you say a four-year project, you know, last year's year one, this will be year two. 4 years, to me, is a good assessment. I think you'd really have to screw it up to not get
I
four.
Think so, because by then, that first draft class, you've got a few years of tape on them. You probably know what they are by then. Like, by year four of Cam Ward, I think we'll have a pretty good idea of who Cam Ward is, who he is as an NFL quarterback. Josh from White House says, the fact his name is Mike automatically gives him a plus two on that overall number, because the Titans do like to hire Mikes. Seriously, though, I'm in the 3 or 4 year camp. You have to have time for players to develop and reach full potential before you go and fire people. Now, if he turns out to be a bum and something major happens with the last two top picks, then something does need to be done. Skyler says, I've seen the Titans fire a coach after winning a playoff game. I've watched the Titans fire GM and another head coach after giving them extensions. Who the hell knows what Amy Adams will do or is thinking? Borgonzi could win 9 to 10 games and get fired, LOL. He should get 4 years, though.
Yeah, you hope that he's able to at least get that 4 years, which means she sees some progress in the team. And I know she has to be tired of hearing, you know, how dysfunctional this offense, I mean, this organization has been, or, you know, it's just like a revolving door with everybody and everybody's just leapfrogging and it's Game of Thrones around it. I know she has to be tired of hearing that about her organization. I would. So with that being said, I would make sure, even if the season doesn't end up in a playoff, you have to continue to show stability. Now, as long as this thing doesn't fall completely off the rails, and to me, falling completely off the rails is if they don't get six wins, how does that look? Does it look like a team that's not organized like it has been in previous years, or does it look different? So I think she's just tired of hearing a lot of that. So that's going to give a little bit more leeway for, you know, whether it be Borgonzi, Saleh, or Dable. Because if they do well, we believe Dable will be out of here.
One texter.
If the offense does well. But if you fire, say after this season, you fire Borgonzi, you're going to be back in the same situation you were in before. Dismissing a GM, hiring a GM, a year or two later, you fire the coach. So again, you need to let this thing ride out at least three more years, because you got to give that to the head coach and the offensive coordinator. If the offensive coordinator leaves, you want it to be because the offense is getting better and he's getting a head coaching job. You don't want to fire guys, because if you do, you might as well just fire everybody. If you fire Borgonzi, you might as well just fire everybody and start over.
One texter says, it's in the best interest of Amy Adams Strunk to give Mike Borgonzi at least 5 years to build the credibility of the organization. I do wonder if someone has to say to Amy Adams Strunk, Miss Amy, because they're not calling her Amy, Miss Amy, we're gonna put the pink slips away. We're going to take that from you. We're going to lock it in a safe somewhere. Try not to fire Mike Borgonzi for at least a couple of years. Because at this point, until she proves that she can do that, we're all going to believe that that's what's going to happen, right? We've got 3-4 years of data now to suggest that she cycles through these coaches, GMs, presidents of football operation. So until she can show some patience, I think a lot of people are going to assume that's the opposite of what she's going to do.
Well, if anything happens, which I don't believe it will, at least not this season, say next year, if anything happened, it will not be Borgonzi getting fired. It will not be that. You may be seeing a head coach being fired, which I don't even think that would be the case. But I think if the team, if you're firing a GM, that means the team's not doing well completely. If you have jumped over the head coach to fire the GM, you might as well fire the head coach.
By the way, somebody, our second texter of the day, has suggested that Chad Brinker is the curveball GM for the Nashville Predators. As Willie said, the chances of that happening are
0.0.
0.0.
I want to know about this curveball. Good thing we have Elliot Freeman on the program tomorrow. Hopefully he has uncovered something since he made that comment on his podcast.
I don't know who the curveball is, but I know it is not Chad Brinker.
I don't know who it is, but it ain't Chad.
That would be more of a knuckleball than a curveball.
Yeah, that'd be a slider.
Yeah, that would be awesome. maybe even a spitter.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, Nick Suss of the Tennessean will join the program. He's been reporting on this. We'll get his thoughts on Chad Brinker stepping down as president of football operations. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.